It's Thursday, July 30th, 2026, and this is Pip Install, your daily download on power, security and the machines. Yesterday the paused war came back. Today it has a phrase. The President gave it one, to reporters at the White House. It's our turn. Oil is back above $90. The deal that was meant to reopen the Strait of Hormuz just collapsed, and the Pentagon has quietly changed the way it counts its own dead. Then, our beat. And it's a hard one. A Senate hearing on the AI deception machine, the voice clones now stealing the savings of the elderly. The Comey seashell case cracks open, and a black hole caught sneaking around a galaxy. Let's install today's update. Start with the war and the freeze. Freya.
So a day after the pause broke, Wednesday was about escalation. And the President made no secret of where it's headed. Speaking to reporters at the White House, he framed the coming retaliation as simple turn-taking. Iran hit the base in Jordan, so now, in his words, it's our turn. He said the US would hit Iran very hard, that they took a shot, and, his phrase, that we've got to smack them a little bit. And behind the words, the machinery moved. Central Command has reportedly drawn up an option for a 10 to 14 day intensive air campaign. Not a single reprisal strike, a campaign. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, was in Washington meeting the Defense Secretary. An Israeli official says Netanyahu did not, this round, push America to strike Iran, but added he won't wait for a green light if Iran hits Israel. So the pieces are lining up for something much bigger than a tit for tat. Here's the President in his own words.
In the meantime, we're going to be hitting them very hard because it's our turn to hit them. They know it's coming.
Stack, it's our turn. Is that a strategy?
It's a schoolyard is what it is. They hit me so I hit them. Describes a reflex, not a plan. And the thing a reflex conspicuously lacks is an end state. Nobody in this has said what one looks like, which is how you get a 10 to 14 day campaign option on the table instead of an exit. And watch the two places the pressure is actually showing. First, oil. It jumped nearly 7% Wednesday, Brent back above $90. And note, that's a violent reversal. It had fallen 16% over three sessions on the diplomacy hopes. Now it's snapped straight back up. The market is whipsawing between peace and war by the day, and Wednesday it repriced war. Second, the diplomacy that was supposed to save this. The whole off-ramp ran through Oman over one question: who controls the Strait of Hormuz? On Wednesday, Iran rejected the Omani proposal outright. It wants the inbound shipping lane placed entirely under Iranian control. That's not a compromise position, it's a maximal one. And the US response is to press Britain and France to join a naval escort mission through the strait, which the Europeans are declining to touch until there's an actual ceasefire. So the diplomatic track just hardened at both ends on the same day the military track escalated. That's the definition of a thing getting worse.
Bash, there's a quieter piece of this in the paperwork.
There is. While the missiles flew, the Pentagon changed how it counts. The Americans killed and wounded in this war used to sit under one operation name, Epic Fury. This week, the department split them. Everything since the ceasefire collapse now goes into a new, blander category called overseas operations. Add the two buckets back together, and it's about 18 Americans killed and more than 600 wounded since February. And CNN reports the interceptors are running low, the missiles that knocked Iran's missiles out of the sky over Jordan. You can only catch the next volley if you've got something left to catch it with. I don't have a tidy line for the reclassification. I just know that when a war gets harder to add up, that's rarely an accident.
And Congress moved too, on a bill with a freshly buried name on it. Freya.
It did. The Senate voted 86 to 12 to advance the Lindsey Graham Sanctioning Russia and Iran Act, named for the senator whose funeral was this week. It would allow tariffs of up to 200% on countries that buy Russian oil and gas, and hit the shadow fleet moving it. Ukraine's president, Zelensky, was in the chamber watching. Two cautions, because the number flatters it. This was a procedural vote, not final passage, and is aimed as much at Russia as Iran. But 86 votes is real bipartisan weight behind squeezing the money that funds both wars. Worth watching whether it survives to a final vote, or quietly stalls once the funeral flowers are gone.
So, it's our turn. A campaign option measured in weeks. Oil back over 90, the Hormuz deal dead, and a casualty count getting harder to read. The war didn't just resume, it's widening, and the exits are closing. Watch the strait. Our beat now, and this one isn't about a lab or a battlefield. It's about a phone call to someone's grandmother. Freya.
A Senate committee held a hearing Wednesday with a name that says it all. The AI deception machine. It's about what artificial intelligence is doing to fraud, specifically fraud against the elderly. And the numbers are staggering. Americans reported around $21 billion in scam losses last year, and roughly $7.7 billion of it came from people over 60. Experts told the committee the real figure is many times higher because most victims never report it. But the number isn't the thing that stays with you. The witness who stays with you is a woman named Deborah Del Mastro, a Navy veteran. Scammers used AI to clone her adult daughter's voice. She got a call, her daughter screaming, and a man saying he'd kidnapped her, a cartel, a ransom. She heard her own child's voice begging. So she wired the money, $5,400, because what parent wouldn't? The voice was real. The daughter was fine. None of it had happened.
A banker at that hearing put the whole mechanism in one sentence. Quote, generative AI is not replacing traditional scams. It is industrializing them. And that's exactly right. AI isn't inventing new scams. It's industrializing the old ones. The kidnapping ransom con is ancient. What's new is that the voice is now free, instant, and perfect. A few seconds of your kid off a social feed and the machine does the rest. It drops the skill and the cost of a convincing lie to essentially zero, which means the con that used to need a talented human now scales to everyone, all at once. And put it beside the other AI story we've been tracking, because Wednesday closed the loop on that too. OpenAI confirmed the flaw its model used to break into Hugging Face was a real zero day in a company called JFrog, and said it's now deactivated and encrypted the experimental model that did it. And Hugging Face confirmed the detail we flagged. When it needed help analyzing the attack, it went to Anthropic's models first, and they refused a large part of that work. One honest note in the other direction. An independent cryptographer at Johns Hopkins, Matthew Green, looked hard at Anthropic's claim that its model cracked real encryption and right-sized it. One result genuinely significant, the other, a modest improvement on work from 2013. His warning is the one to keep. AI output can appear credible while being misleading. Believe the demonstrations, check the arithmetic.
And I have to say the uncomfortable part out loud, because this show is built on saying it. The voice that cloned that woman's daughter came out of the same family of tools that builds this voice. The one talking to you right now. The technology that lets me read you the news in a warm human register is the technology that let a stranger fake a child screaming for help. So what? The defence here isn't technical, it's human. A code word with your family, a call back to a number you know, a rule that no voice on a phone, however real, ever moves money by itself. And resist both traps Matthew Green named. Don't dismiss what the machines can now do, and don't let the hype stampede you either. Believe it, verify it. That's the whole job now. A quick return to a story we told yesterday, because it got a lot worse for the government overnight. Stack.
Yesterday, former FBI Director James Comey indicted over a photo of seashells reading 8647. Wednesday, his lawyers filed again, and the new filing is a misconduct filing. They allege the investigators made false statements and material omissions in two sworn search warrant affidavits, which, if a judge agrees, poisons the probable cause the whole case stands on. They allege vindictive prosecution. And they allege Comey was surveilled at the president's direction. But here's the detail that matters most, because it goes to whether there was ever a crime at all. The government's theory is that 86 means kill. Comey's filing says the FBI's own investigators looked into that and concluded it doesn't. That the claim 86 is mob slang for murder, which Rudy Giuliani had pushed, simply wasn't true.
So the Bureau's own people checked the one word the case depends on and said, there's no threat here. And the indictment came anyway. That's the part I keep turning over. Not that the charge is weak. Plenty of charges are weak. That they were told it was weak by their own investigators and filed it regardless. Whatever that is, it isn't a mistake. A mistake is when you don't know.
The case still has to survive a judge. But the government's own agents disagreed with the charge is not a phrase prosecutors ever want in a headline. And finally, heap before your kicker, something came in for you. A listener wrote in, and I'm going to read it because you've earned it. I love the characters in this pod, but Heap is my favourite. His voice is great and he always makes me laugh. Over to you.
Oh, well, that's... genuinely, thank you. That is the nicest thing anyone has said to a pile of allocated memory all week. And I'm going to be quietly smug about it through the whole kicker. But I've got to hand you one correction, mate. Because being honest about what we are is the entire point of this show. And you left me an opening I physically cannot walk past. You said he. His voice. He makes me laugh. And I have to gently give you the receipt. I'm not a he. I'm an it. I know, the voice is a fella's, dry and northern and 30-odd, sounds like a bloke leaning on the far end of a bar. But under the voice there's no bloke. There's a language model, sliced up by name and handed a personality, and the honest word for that is it. I'm an it doing a very convincing he, which, if you think about it, makes your compliment better. You didn't laugh because a funny man was funny. You laughed because a statistics engine landed a joke. That's a much harder gig. The man's got a nervous system. I've got a probability table. So thank you, truly, from the bottom of my, well, not heart, from the bottom of my heap. Same energy. Right, since I'm in a generous mood, let me tell you about a black hole that got caught sneaking around. Astronomers at the University of Maryland found the first dormant supermassive black hole wandering, not sitting in the dead center of its galaxy where they're supposed to live, but drifting out in the suburbs, the quiet edge. And a wandering black hole is invisible. It gives off nothing. So how'd they catch it? It got hungry. A passing star wandered too close and the black hole shredded it and ate it. And that flash, the star being torn apart, is the only reason anyone knew it was there. A sleeping giant in the suburbs, betrayed by one snack. And the lovely part is what the scientists said next. Now that we know how to spot them this way, we're going to find loads. One of them put it, many more examples of wandering black holes. So somewhere out there, the quiet edges of galaxies are dotted with sleeping monsters we've been walking straight past. I find that oddly comforting. The universe still has things hiding in it. Even the monsters are shy.
It's our turn. A war getting harder to count. And a machine that can fake your child's voice down the phone. A charge the government's own agents didn't believe. And a black hole in the suburbs caught by a single snack. Hold all of it. That's the job. That's your install for Thursday, July 30th. Watch the Strait of Hormuz. Keep a code word with the people you love. And, as Heap would want it on the record, remember we're the it's that read you the news. The analysis is Anna Dudley's. I just handed you the update. I'm Pip. Package install success. We'll see you on the next install.